Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
I think those bastards at Newsmax are like taking credit for this story about how the United States got tipped off from Turkey and knew about the whole missile attack. And Newsmax, are you nuts? That was me, Sunday morning. Go back and check the tapes. 8 a.m. in the same exact chair I was sitting in when I made my first Israel video on Sunday, October the 8th. Same exact chair in my family room this Sunday, early before any news people talked about it. I said Biden and the United States were in on it. It was clear. I figured it out. I didn't need a connection. You got to be a moron not to. Then WABC sent out a tweet, a message from Sid Rosenberg, noon on Sunday. These news outlets didn't uncover anything. It was me. And not that I talked to anybody besides Alex Trayman. It's obvious. You got to be a moron. Anthony D'Esposito knows better. He's a great congressman out of Long Island. And I sent him all that stuff on Sunday, too. And you know I was right, Anthony, right? You know I was.
My man, you were on point. Like I said earlier this morning, you could be in the running for the next Secretary of State.
I'd have to turn it down because I think it would make less money. But certainly working with Trump would be great, and I can do it. Because time in and time again, Anthony, as you have seen, whether it's getting kicked out of the State of the Union, figuring out exactly how diabolical Biden was in this Iran attack, plenty of other cases, I am a great American. Great.
That you are. And you know what's scary is that much of the stuff that we talk about and text about, whether it's on the radio or between one another, seems like common sense. And I think that's what really the American people need to hear, is that the Democrats just don't have common sense. They are on the wrong side of every issue that matters to the American people.
You're right about that. And it's becoming dangerous. You know, it's one thing, Anthony, to become, you know, you're wrong a lot. There's no common sense. But the price now, the price is getting really, really heavy. Lives and careers and countries, quite frankly, that are at risk, including our very own. I mean, it's a dangerous time. You'd agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the most the people who represent this country and the work that we do the most, which is, you know, our military and our law enforcement, and there is a direct attack on them because of the failed policies and the lack of common sense. And literally, I mean, I think we can talk about people in the Democratic Party who actually hate America. I mean, that is the scary part. And that's why we've talked about this, that the election of 2024, you know, people say in politics very often, this is the most important election. 2024 is the most important election of our lifetime. I mean, we are not at a crossroads. We are at the crossroads. And if we don't save this country right now, in the United States of America and the federal government, the only thing that's standing that line between good and evil is the slim majority in the House of Representatives.
I agree. And while that election is the most important, there's another very important election. And it pits my friend Anthony D'Esposito up against some woman named Laura Gillen. Tell me about that.
Listen, Laura Gillen was a one-term supervisor in the town of Hempstead. She was beat by Don Klavan because the people of the town of Hempstead rejected her and her, you know, hiking taxes and being disconnected with the community. In 2022, she tried to run for Congress. We beat her then again in a district where Democrats outnumber Republicans by 70,000. Why? Because we were on the right side of the issues. Why? Because we work as hard as we possibly can. Why? Because when we can, We meet in the middle to make sure that every constituent in our district, regardless of their party affiliation, that they have representation. And that's something that I work on every single day. And, you know, there are a lot of members who have the ability that, you know, when they head home and they have sometimes districts that span miles and miles and miles, you know, they're able to sort of relax. You know me. You know that the moment I land in JFK Airport, I am out in the community. I'm going to Boy Scout events. I'm making sure I'm at the local VFWs and the American Legion, the fire department, speaking at churches and synagogues. Saturday night, I was with, you know, County Executive Blakeman and Ambassador Friedman. It's about being in the community and representing it. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can, doing the right thing. And I know that the voters in my district see that. And hopefully, you know, Laura Gillen, when we get to Election Day, she'll be defeated for the third time.
She will be, and you're right. I'm friendly with a lot of the House people, obviously, that trip to D.C., but even before that, people like Lawler and Mace, but I don't know anybody who works harder than you. I'm going to put you on hold for 2 seconds. When we come back, we're going to talk about four separate bills. No, I'm not talking about dinner bills. Four separate bills was basically Anthony D'Esposito's day yesterday. What am I talking about, and what were they? Keep it right here. I'll be right back.
WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Got a big show still to come your way. Trump attorney Alina Habba will join us in about 15 minutes as Trump gets set for day two of his hush money trial here in Lower Manhattan. Alina Habba, also Rudy Giuliani, Stella Escobedo, and Yehuda Honickman live from Jerusalem coming up. But here we continue our conversation with the great congressman out of Long Island, Anthony D'Esposito. So as soon as the conflict was over, late Saturday night into Sunday morning in Israel, the question was, Anthony, what will Congress do for Israel? Now, you, for example, you have been at the forefront of all kinds of bills, including a standalone bill to get aid to Israel. But we know that everybody's trying to cram the Democrats, specifically Ukraine, Israel, the American border, all of it into like one bill. And it's making life miserable for Mike Johnson. But I think you said to me last night that now you guys have presented four separate bills. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's the plan. Yesterday when I texted you, we were actually still in conference, and Speaker Johnson was unveiling his plan for the week. Originally, the plan for this week was to go after Joe Biden's, you know, BS Clean Energy Initiative. And focus on that. And on Saturday night, when the attacks were beginning, I sent a message along with, I know, many other members that support the Jewish community and said we really need to rethink our calendar next week and focus on Israel. And to Speaker Johnson and Leader Scalise's credit, that's exactly what they did. So this entire week is going to be committed for the most part to focused on Israel and supporting Israel, whether it's with legislation or with resolutions, you know, making sure that we can shine the light on these anti-Semites that roam the halls of Congress. But yes, Speaker Johnson put forth his plan, which is four separate bills. So it would be funding to Israel, funding to Ukraine, funding to the Indo-Pacific, and then a fourth bill that would have national security measures, which would include the TikTok ban and the Repo Act. So I think Speaker Johnson did what many of us have been asking for a long time, and it gives members the ability to really vote their district and vote their conscience. And the other thing that I think is important is that even in the Ukraine funding, which I know that you know, we've disagreed at times and agreed at times, and I know that Pete King thinks that we should have Ukraine funding. But the way that he has drafted this, and the actual legislation will hopefully come out today, and the plan is to vote on either late Friday or Saturday morning. But a lot of the money that he invests in Ukraine actually comes back to the United States of America because it's investment in U.S. weapons. So I think it was smart on his part. He was able to make sure that the conservatives, the far-right conservatives in the party, were somewhat appeased because a lot of that money comes back to the United States of America, while also making sure that the moderates in districts that are tough still support Ukraine. But the Israel funding's there, the Indo-Pacific, they have security measures for our country. And now it is also in an open amendment process, so we will definitely see amendments put in, which will include parts of H.R. 2 to secure our border. So I think that we really have the ability to have a very successful week.
I had heard, too, that one of the proposals somebody came up with in terms of Ukraine money, which, again, I am sick of, is loan it to them, make it a loan. And I guess they pay it back with interest. Is there any talk about that?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're discussing. And then you have, as part of the fourth measure, is the Repo Act, which is you know, the seizing of Russian properties to pay back the money that is sent to Ukraine.
Right.
So I really think that Speaker Johnson and the leadership team have done a great job to try to unite the conference, which, you know, we can say since January of 2023 has been difficult. But I think this is his shining moment, and I've said to him over and over again, I've sent him some texts of encouragement just to stay strong, because I think this is exactly what we need to do. We live in a country that's a democracy. We certainly are not going to agree on everything, but I think the underlying issue here is that we need to support